Yo, Tevin.
Yes, sir.
What's good, man? What's going on with you?
Chilling. Finally getting the access, and I was trying for a few minutes.
Man. I apologize for it, man. But man, I appreciate you doing this this interview with me, man. On the God Dimension podcast, man. You a celebrity here around the city, man.
I guess, man, they say that.
Man, it's in a good light though, man. I was checking out the video and whatnot, the Longs video, and I saw on YouTube at what, 360,000 views?
Yeah, it's total at like 800,000, like all across all platforms.
Oh man, so that's big. What inspired you to do the not only the Longs video, but what inspired you to do everything pretty much that you're doing right now?
Man, just really kind of the situation in life that we're in right now. Like, I primarily did a lot of sports videos, but then just situation and just life changing with sports being removed.
Right, right.
Like, do something different.
So okay.
That's how it kind of just came about, and then it kind of grew into a life of its own.
I see that. So what was your upbringing like? I know me and you had a conversation one day on Twitter about how, you know, you know how when they would reward kids or black kids that went to school in the city, you know, they'll take us to like Golden Corral and take us to CC's.
Yeah.
So I want to know about, you know, what your schooling was like, where you went to school that graduated from and everything.
Definitely. So, man, I kind of went to schools all over the city. Started at a Claver daycare. It was a great little kindergarten kind of daycare. From there, went to a church private school that my uncle ran called Joy Tabernacle Christian Academy. It was out west. And
okay.
We went to school before then. Went to school called St. John of Arc. It was like a little kind of black Catholic little school.
Oh yeah. So you know the Catholic stuff. You know the Catholic stuff there. I went to Holy Angels. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we went out there. That's like off of 40 in college. Then we went to a church, a private church school, like where my uncle, we went to church there as well as school. So I was there from about, I didn't get kicked out of St. John of Arc, but they basically gave me the option, like, you can leave, but you're going to get kicked out. I was bad.
Oh, like that?
Yeah, I was bad in like first through third grade. Hey. I didn't even make it through third grade because they was like, that's when I had to go and leave.
Oh,
so then, that's when I went to my uncle's school. I was there till about sixth grade, third to sixth. Then from there, like, they were closing the school down and everything, so I ended up going to IPS, and I went to Julian D. Coleman 110. So I started off there, and man, now at that time I would say that was the worst school in Indianapolis public schools, like out of all of them. Like,
dang,
yeah, definitely. I mean, just. If you will not go back and really think of it, I'm like, you in middle school metal detectors. Like, I remember a girl put a gun out on me in class, like, and this was like the advanced class. And I was like, if this the advanced class, what the regular class gonna be like?
Oh, nah. Put a whole piece out on you?
Yeah, but just had it like under the table though. So that was pretty crazy. But the thing about what I learned, the difference between the little church private school that I came from and Julian D. Coleman 110, it was we were 2 years ahead of them academically.
Right. So
what I had learned in fifth grade, they weren't learning until seventh grade.
And, true.
I remember literally telling the teacher, I'm like, yo, this is wrong. And he was like, how you going to tell me I'm the teacher? And I was like, can I work it out on the board? Worked it out.
Boom.
He was wrong. And all the classes like, ooh. He was like, yeah, I don't think you should be in this class or this. And, but I don't know. I just felt like confused, disappointed. And then,
right.
I remember I just randomly got jumped about the day after that or something.
Damn.
And, it was a whole lot of stuff going on at 110.
Yeah,
I remember a dude telling me, like, man, you should play football. You got a nice size. Now, I had never played, like,
right.
My mom wouldn't let me play football or other sports. I played basketball, like, when I was little. Mm-hmm. At the Boys and Girls Club, but she never let me play football. So in the eighth grade, kind of fast forward to about the second or third quarter of seventh grade, I transferred to Addicts. It was a magnet program, and I had a great grades. And so I get over there, and it was just a totally different world. It was a fresh start.
Right.
Coleman was, I just had his hood feel, but Coleman was on a whole different level.
Coleman was wild, wild, huh?
It was always jumping to Coleman. So, teachers that I looked up to were like cool with Coast players. Found out some years later they were sleeping with a bunch of students, and it's like,
it was crazy.
Just like Coleman was wild.
Right.
Like, they turned it into an alternative school, but I was like, man, it was an alternative school when I went there. Like, they was off the chain at Coleman. So when I went to Addicts, I was like, man, y'all don't got metal detectors. Like, it just had more sense of pride.
There was
more structure. So I was like, okay, this is a good little environment for me. And I went there, and that's when I was like, all right, man, I don't care what my parents say, I'm going to play football.
Right.
Because everybody was just telling me, like, man, you need to play football. So, eighth grade, my first time playing football. And I was good off rip. Like, I started on both sides of the ball. I started defensive end and left tackle. We had a cold little squad. We ended up going undefeated to the championship game. We lost the championship game by, like, a last-second play.
Right.
Just kind of got attention of Cathedral coaches, and at that time I hadn't heard of Cathedral. I was going, my boundary school was Tech at that time, and I was either going there or Northwest. So the whole Cathedral thing happened. One guy that had played on Addicts the year before, he kept coming back and he was like, man, Cathedral is raw, like, y'all need to come there. Like, he talking about football. So this is my first time playing football. I'm like okay. And then that same spring semester, two players that went to Cathedral High School got drafted. Matthias Kilnuka got drafted in the first round, and then Jeremy Trueblood got drafted in the second round. So I'm like, dang, man. Dudes from here is getting drafted. Like, all my friends is kind of splitting up. So it's like, everybody that's in IPS, like, or everybody that's in Addicts, that kind of balled out with. We all going in our separate ways, kind of like some people's going to Manual, some people's going to Tech, some people going to Northwest. So it's like, when we all just knew we weren't going to stick together, everybody was just like, all right. And it's crazy because it's like Cathedral wanted like five of my teammates, but they didn't want to wear a uniform.
All right.
And it's so dumb because Dr. White, the superintendent at the time, that same school year changed IPS to uniform. So I was like, mm-hmm. I didn't want to go here because of uniform. Now you can't. So, yeah, that was my school. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to Indiana State to do a song for the school.
Oh,
that was a whole crazy
player.
Experience. Yeah, that was – I did a song for the Indiana Fever my senior year of high school. Then I went on my first visit to Indiana State, and they were basically like, they have scholarships for, like, students that do creative things.
Right.
I was like, okay, cool. Like, I performed it at homecoming game. And, because I initially wanted to go to Ball State, but I didn't get in Ball State academically. Mm-hmm. I just kind of clowned in high school. Like,
yeah.
One quarter, I could have a 1.4. The next quarter, I have a 3.6. And it was just like, it was a whole kind of different mix of things, from like not feeling like I fit in at Cathedral, because it's like, I'm used to public school being around black people, so it's like,
right.
It just feels different. It's just like, I just, not in the sense I don't want to be here because football was so cool, but it was just like, you felt like you was missing out on something, but in all, you really weren't. But that was kind of the schooling for me. That was just about every school I went to.
Man, you went, like you said, you went lying when you see it was all around the board with the schools, huh?
Yeah, I was everywhere.
Yeah, East, I went.
West.
Man, you was everywhere. I went to Holy Angels K through 6, and then I went to Ritter 7th through 12th grade. Yeah, so my middle school through senior year. So I pretty much spent my whole life in a private school. However, though, like you said, though, you know, there's a lot of things that you are more advanced in, you know, when you get to learning stuff too. I will give private schools that, you know what I mean?
Definitely. It was night and day. And I think that's what my parents with the whole Cathedral was like. they were kind of passionate about, because I started getting like complacent and like almost kind of dumbing myself down, like trying to fit in, because I'm just like, man, I'm smart. I felt like them dudes jumped me just because I'm smart. And I'm just like, now I look back on those things, it's like, man, if I wasn't trying to fit in, ain't no telling where I could be. But everything happened for a reason. But
no, like, that's true, man. That's definitely true.
A lot of kids, a lot of smart kids struggle with that. Like, they try to fit in just so, I don't know, so things either won't happen to them physically or
just want to belong.
Cool, just so they can seem cool. Yeah, like you said. Just not having a sense of identity and like purpose. No guidance. Nobody there to be like, man, it ain't. It's cool to be smart. Like,
nah, that's true, bro. Because, you know, we grew up in an era where it was, when you feel like if you smart, you know, as a child, bro, that's, you know, those kind of words hurt. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna lie to you. Oh, you a geek, you a nerd, you a dork, you know, stuff like that. You know, because I was like, I was into all types of stuff. Like, I was into, like, when I was growing up, man, I was into like martial arts, anime. I was still into rap music, but I ventured out and, you know, discovered other things. Of course, I got the, oh, you doing that white people stuff? You doing that nerdy shit? Man, bro, I ain't even about that. As I got older, I was just like, man, F what y'all saying, bro. This is me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think kind of grew into. Like, the whole... And that's why, initially, like, my favorite artist used to be Kanye. Because he was kind of this kid in the hood who had, like, his confidence was so strong. It was just like, man, I'm going to wear polos and backpacks when it's not popular. When it's not, like... hip-hop culture wasn't really accepting of that kind of guy. And he was like, I'm going to be so dope that you're going to accept me regardless. So I felt like that was a big influence growing up. He kind of went left field as a late, but growing up, I'd say that was an artist that I kind of like looked up to as well. Was inspired by at that time.
So where did is that where the rapping ability came from? Because you got some bars, man. I ain't going to sit up and act like you got some bars. It was,
that kind of more so my uncle.
Uh-huh.
I had an uncle. He used to literally make me freestyle from about 30th and Sherman to 30th and Fall Creek. And he would just be like, rap about everything you see. And I'm like 10 years old at this time.
Right.
And he was slaughtering my Uncle Dave. He was slaughtered. And then I just got so tired of losing. I'm like, man, I'm about to really practice so I can get good.
Right, right.
It took me a few weeks, about a year, and I finally got, like, good. He didn't want to see me after that. But it's crazy. My cousin out west would do the same thing from, like, Tibbs to Tremont. We would just, like, rap about everything I saw. I feel like those foundational years was like so pivotal in like the artist that I kind of grew into be.
Right. So I take it the creativity was always in you, you know, because you got a number of videos and whatnot. And when I'm listening, you know, I'm listening to the songs, I'm like, nah, Tevin got, you know, it's creative, but he ain't talking just to be talking. You know what I'm saying? He's saying something, but also he having fun with it too. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I would say it's really church, man. Like being in church, having a strong foundation.
Right.
Like we had some talented musicians. Like even like a lady that I just had on a song we did for Pie Ma's Backyard Barbecue.
Yeah, that was hard.
That was like my choir. Yeah, that was my choir director. Like the lady that was singing at the end. And stuff like that. Like she was like tough on us. And I was always the kid in the choir in church with the solos. So it was just like those was real pivotal. Like it's a video of me online right now, my like fifth grade talent show at my church school. Like I rocked it. Like he gonna see it. Like man, this a 11-year-old doing this. And like literally, it was always there. Just I felt like I kind of stopped during kind of school. Especially once I got into sports. Like I was always like rapping, but. Once I got into sports, I kind of like shifted. And then kind of my senior year, like nobody even at Cathedral like knew that I rapped. Like none of that. Until my junior year, we was on the bus and they was freestyling and doing this and that. I was like, y'all suck.
It was like, what?
Then I start spitting. It was like, what is this? So my junior year before a state championship game, our rep had a line about everybody on the team, all the seniors, before the game. And it was probably the craziest thing. It was like, what? I didn't even know you rep. Like, I feel like I just kept it to myself. Like, cause it was just like, not a place where it was like, not that it wasn't accepting. It just was like, this ain't the environment.
Yeah, it's time and place for everything.
Yeah, they're not going to really rock me, but I did that. They was blown away. So by my senior year, I did a song for our team, and we would come out to it at the games, and it was just a crazy feeling to just, like, be playing football, and your song is, like, playing as you're about to play a game. And, like, that was crazy. And, like, I remember just going crazy on the field, and then a player from the other team started singing the song. And,
okay.
I was like, man, I can do this for other schools. So that was what kind of like got me going to other schools. And I've been to 100 plus universities in like 33 states around the nation doing theme songs. So everywhere from USC, Kansas, Ohio State, mm-hmm. Baylor, Florida State,
Michigan. That work? I see. Man, that's you covering a lot of ground. That's good. Definitely. I respect that. Have you so what was it like in Indiana State days? You know, was it where you being a lot more? Were you recording a lot, writing a lot, or did that hit the back burner for a little bit and focus on the school?
I say coming in, I was like doing the song for the school, like performing at homecoming games and performing at different little events around school. And then my freshman year, I did a St. Francis. I went to St. Francis. And I was trying to get a lot of stuff for businesses. And I would just remember that time period where I was just sending emails nonstop. Like,
right.
Nonstop, just trying to market myself to different businesses. And, I was like, man, the worst they're going to tell me is no. And, that's kind of how I felt. But then I kind of like put it on a little back burner until about 2014. And that's when I really like, that's when I started going ham with it. Because I was going to be around the time of like graduation. Mm-hmm. Well, what was supposed to be my graduation? I took a victory lap in this. So what was supposed to be my 4 year or something? Like, man, he's supposed to be done with school, this and that. So that's when I started really like, almost touring in a sense where I would have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Monday and Friday, I was doing security at the City County Building. And then Saturdays, mm-hmm. Sundays, I was on the road at some campus. And I remember going to 40 campuses in one semester. And that was, it was crazy. It was just the grind. Like, I was riding the Greyhound to all of them.
The grind don't stop, man. Sometimes the grind ain't pretty, man. You got to get down and dirty. You know,
definitely. That's exactly what I was, like, and that's what kind of laid the foundation for everything. Now,
I can see it's paying. I mean, it's paying for. It's definitely paying for itself. It's definitely paying for itself. As of, I want to say as of right now, but it came into fruition. Honestly, definitely came to fruition.
Definitely, I believe that.
How did you hook up with corporate, man? Old boy from Chicago.
Man, so I was at Indiana State. At that time, he had one of his first viral videos. And, it was him and his daughter in the backseat. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what the joke was. But it was just like a 10-second joke, but it went like viral.
Right.
And I was like, man, we trying to get you up to Indiana State. And I just knew, he was going to be big. Like, people wasn't, like, booking him like that then. But I just knew he was going to be big at that time. This is 2016.
Right.
But I knew he was going to be big. So I'm like, man, maybe I should have him introduce the video. So he ended up introducing it. And we booked him. We took care of his little hotel room and all of that and his team. And he ended up doing it. It was just, like, a classic. Like, he just took off after that. Like, he was already well on his way.
Right.
He started making that kind of Chicago Dudes Be Like series.
From there,
he just grew into a world of his own. And then I just remember, because I substitute teach as well.
Okay.
I had some kids talking about it one day. They was like, man, you seen Corporate's video? And I was like, man, I know him. They was like, you don't know no Corporate. Stop running. And I was like, how much you want to bet? It's like, man, I got $20 here right now and she don't know Corporate. I was like, all right, you put your 20 on the table, I'll put my 20 on the table. He said, all right, bet. And I said, all right, I'm going to give it to this. We both going to give our money to this guy. Kind of like a little bigger kid. And then I pulled up the clip. He was like, God, how you know Corporate? Run me my 20. Like, without question. So that was pretty, that's pretty cool. So just like see what he grew into. And just to be like, yo, there are his foundational steps. We was there soon in the gym with him early.
So yeah, y'all was there from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say beginning because I didn't like, because I'm sure I'm sure he put in leg work, but from where he like took off, before he took off, yeah, definitely 2016 till now, it's like we definitely was rocking.
Oh man, what was the I want to say, because you say you've been to a lot of campuses. What was the best experience for you, and what was one of the experiences for you where you was like, man, this is, you know, this is not, what say, not becoming a headache, but this is, you know, this might get rough a little bit. I want you to, you know, talk about the experiences just in general.
I say USC, because I feel like in the course, I say, like, never dreamed I'd be rapping for USC. I feel like USC culture is something that we so enamored with, from Love and Basketball, that movie, to Reggie Bush and how big he was. So I feel like, man, I'm really at Los Angeles team right now performing. And it was just a volleyball team, but performing for them. And it felt so cool because I was like, man, you did something for a university that you literally watched in movies, watched on TV, and football play every week. So that was pretty cool. And I don't want to talk down on nobody, but the lessons I learned in that time was to cut out the middleman. So at that time, I would upload songs to YouTube, then I would email the coach and be like, hey, I would love to perform this before a game. And sometimes I wouldn't hear anything back. So I was like, man, I felt like I did pretty good on the songs and a single thing back.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let's just go to my target audience. And I just tweeted the athletes that were in the song. I just tweeted them with the song link. And a coach that hadn't contacted me back in 3 weeks contacted me within 5 minutes. Like, oh, yeah, we've been meaning to call you back. No, you haven't.
No, yeah,
It just made so much noise in your locker room that you were like, whoa, I didn't think it would do something like this.
Right.
And then another team, I was actually at the University of Kentucky performing. It was like volleyball teams have tournaments where it's more than 2-3 teams coming, so it could be like 5-6 teams or something. So I performed with one team. Then I seen another team in the hallway that I sent the song to. And I'm like, have you guys heard my song or anything? They was like, no. I was like, well, I did the song where I shot it, y'all all up. They're like, what, for real? So I rapped it. They were like, what? This is so cool. And then their coach comes around, and I was like, yeah, I sent it to the coach. It was like, and their player was like, why didn't you share this with us? She was like, well, I didn't think it would be good to perform before. And then their team was like, oh, they was hot at her.
Oh, my bet. I can only imagine.
It was so funny how she ended up having to take the picture of me with the team. Because I'm like, you were somebody who didn't essentially think too much of me to want me to come perform. But now you got to take the picture of me with the team. I felt like that was funny.
Mm, look how things come full circle, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Wow. I agree with that. So what was the first experience like out of college with pursuing your passion?
I did a after school music program at an IPS school, school 31, and I pitched the idea to do a video for them. So this would have been like my maybe third or fourth or fifth video at this time, probably. So it's called I Will Change the World. And I was like, yeah, man, we could do this video right now. And it was basically putting the kids on the song and the chorus. And it was just a vision that I had for a minute. So that song ended up making it on the news. And it was a real kind of powerful song, powerful imagery. Mm-hmm. Kids to be a part of something, talking about that changed the world. And another one. But at that same time, I started substitute teaching at that same school, and I was the only black male teacher at that time. All the other black males, no, not to their professions, but as a basketball coach and like a janitor. So it's like you were out of 50, 60 some teachers, you're the only black male that mean a lot to them kids. And then I remember the principal, for some unknown reason, I guess she felt like all these news stations were doing interviews with me and I didn't have to check in with her because I wasn't a regular teacher. I was a substitute.
Right.
So all these stations and IPS, they were all doing these interviews on me. And she had, what happened? So she called me to the office. She was like, yeah, we're going to remove you from the position. I'm like, what?
Dang. What?
I was like, for what? What did I do wrong? I was like, at that time, I'm like, I'm teaching. I'm the only one, the only black male teachers. And I'm doing the after school program with the music. So I'm just doing everything right, like pouring my heart into this community. And it was just like, oh, just remove me. And I was like, man, that was kind of a blow to me. Cause it was like, man, I know like I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm literally going above and beyond to serve these kids. And for her to do that, it was like, okay. And then I was approached with the opportunity to do a radio show. Somebody had sent a music video that was like, man, would you want to show a radio show? Like internet radio show? So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So the first night I had interviewed all kinds of sorts of people. A few people canceled. And this was 2017, January. A few people canceled. So I was like, man, how do I hold? I had a 2-hour segment and I was kind of getting people in 15-minute time frames. So a few people canceled, and then that kind of started to be the pattern over the next couple episodes. The high school athletes would be dedicated to come, and the regular people just would kind of be nonchalant and cancel.
Be flaky on you.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Base this whole show around high school athletes. So it just grew into a life of its own quick. So within, man, 3-4 episodes, man, every kid around the city is talking about it and trying to come, and we're getting over flooded with kids. Kids are just showing up that won't even have interviews. So
right.
This was something huge, and we ended up having like 400 kids on in a 4-month time frame, and this is only being on like one night a week, and this was coming one night for 2 months, like 2 nights for a month and 3 nights for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then his kind of like, we didn't have the same vision. Like, he's hollering right. at every single mother. He's trying to holler at every single mother. He's
doing this is business, dog.
Yeah. He's saying all kind of, you saying the N-word to a kid just because he's black, you don't know his like background upbringing. There's a, I don't even want to say that.
No, I get what you're saying, bro. I get exactly what you're saying.
There's different kind of kids that you're going to encounter. And this kid, right. This kid's dad is a doctor, his mom's a lawyer. He's not trying to be addressed like that. Not saying your parents have to be that for you to be dressed like that at all either. But it's just like how you approach kids. You shouldn't be saying that to kids in a radio setting at all for no kind of kids. So he's doing that, and then it was like, that was just like the final straw where I'm so it kind of just like, so I'm like, man, I gave my all to this school, just boom, nothing. Gave my all to this radio, boom, nothing. What am I going to do where I can just do something for myself and my brand? So that summer, opportunity came with the MIC Network to do a kickoff video for the season. And at this time, I hadn't had a sports video before. So I was like, but I really love sports. I've been to all these sports places around the nation and universities. So I was like, man, I could do this. Like, I know all these kids through radio, so I could get all these kids. And at that time, Papa John was one of their sponsors. So I was like, man, if Papa John's can give me 10 to 20 pizzas at each school, I can get 40, 50 to 100 kids to come at each of the 8 mixed schools. So that's BD, Warren Central, Center Grove, Carmel, LN, LC, Pike, and North Central. So I knew, like, if you can guarantee me that you're going to have pizza there, I can bring the kids out. So we brought all the kids out. We created something classic, man. They made USA Today. And I was really kind of, like, taken aback at that time because it's, like, it didn't – no news station played. And I was, like, I sipped it into every news station. I'm, like, you got all these different demographics. Carmel, Warren Central, Ben Davis, Center Grove. All these different kids in one video representing one conference, the biggest conference in the state, high school wise, and it was like no news coverage. And I was like, man, I was kind of distraught again. I'm like, yo, I'm giving my all, and I'm saying I did like 60,000 views off rip. And I was like, bro, we're doing 60,000 views, we're incorporating thousands of kids, and it was still like no coverage. So I'm like, man, what am I going to do? So a couple months passed by, and a parent was like, man, I really love your stuff. We'd love for you to do something at Cathedral. Because that's where I went. I was like, all right, let's do it. So mm-hmm. We do a Cathedral video. From there, it just turned into a life of its own. With Cathedral, Warren, and Davis, Pike, just school after school, we started doing individual videos. And then really, man, from 2017 to now, it kind of grew all into that. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. And this past March, I did a song for the University of South Carolina women's basketball, and they were the number one girls basketball team in the nation this year. So it was like crazy to do a song for them. And their coach had been on an episode of Martin before, and like I seen that episode where they played the girls in basketball, Team USA. So it's like, man, doing that was crazy. And then boom, COVID happened. So I'm like, man. So I kind of just kind of figuring out what my next move was going to be. And this was like, there's no March Madness, no tournament. So I'm like, man, what am I going to do next? And I just picked up a little warehouse gig. And I had to end up going to the hospital April 27th. And I was just working too hard in the warehouse. I 80-hour weeks.
Oh yeah, you got to be careful, man. Those will tear you down for real.
I was grinding, and I was on the truck by myself loading the truck. I mean, we do 3,000 boxes a day, doing 15 miles a day. Boxes range 25-200 pounds. So I'm like, man, and I had to really go to the hospital. Like they said it was like heart palpitations, and I knew I had like chest spasms. The way my like chest was like twitching. So I'm like,
oh yeah.
When I'm on the hospital bed, I'm just thinking like, man, you can't go out like this. You got to do something special. Like, so literally I just knew like, man, every time you make a post about Long's Bakery, like everybody likes it, because that's something that everybody loves. So I just seen a news station post, hey, Long's Bakery is opening on Friday. So I had seen this like on Wednesday. So I'm like, my mind just kind of started rolling. I'm like, It's just still a thought. So by Thursday, I'm like, bro, forget this. Thursday night, I called a producer. I'm like, yo, can you be in the studio tonight? I'm finna write a song. And he's like, all right, bet, bro, I can meet you there tonight. It's to one of your beats. So I need to be in there tonight. So I wrote the song that night, probably in 20-30 minutes. And we get there, some other producer, he's like, oh man, I got the session at 11. So we get there at 10:30. Like, that's when our session was for. Get there at 10:30, and he comes in there talking about he got a session at 11. And I'm like, all right, man, I don't feel like arguing with you. I'm not about to do all this. So I knocked mine out in one take. It takes me about 5 minutes to record it all. And he mixes it for like 15 minutes. It takes 10 minutes to just set up everything up, check your levels, all of this. So from 10:30, 10:40, that's all we doing. And then 10:40 to 11, that's when we record, doing the whole mix and everything. So boom, we record, we do that. Then I call my videographer. I'm like, man, I need you at Long's Bakery at 5:30 in the morning. He know what we was doing. He didn't know what it was about. Nothing. He just came. So I'm like, man. And he gets there, and I'm like, yeah, man, I want to do a song about Long's Bakery. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. He's like, all right. He just down for whatever. So
right.
We sit in line for a whole hour, 5:30, 6:30. We get in there. He bring the camera in there. He filming and stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, get all of this. And it end up being great B-roll. So I'm like, yeah, get all of this, bro. Film all of this. Film me handing the money to her. All of this.
Get everything, yeah.
Yeah, so from 6:30 to about 8 o'clock, we filming. And, we, I mean, we go to Addicts Eskenazi. It's just all of downtown West Side stuff. And from there, man, we edited from like 8 to maybe took us an hour to upload, and probably another 20 minutes for it to upload. So by 9:45, it was up. An hour had like 2,000 some shares or something. It was crazy. So it just like, my goal for it was 100,000 views. Like, cause I had been viral before, I did numbers, but like when I started getting 3, 4, 5, I was like, this is nuts.
This is, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I that was way past my, I was just like, man, I just want to make something for the neighborhood, some funny video for the city. And
yeah,
just thinking it's just gonna be on some hood stuff, just some people gonna view it, and it's gonna be that. But man, the whole city fell in love with it, and I was like, this is crazy. And then just seeing it on TV, like, I was like, man, I worked so hard over all these years, man.
paying off, because it, I saw the video, it popped up on my, I got this news app on my phone. It said a local Indianapolis, you know, rapper Tevin Studdard made a song about Long's Bakery, you know, with Long's opening back up. So I checked it out. I was like, oh, this slap. I was like, oh yeah, this is a slapper right here. And like you said, who can't resonate with Long's?
Yeah, it's something, you know, everybody, man, likes.
Yeah, it don't matter what you are, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, bro, everybody go to Long's, dog. No matter your age either. You know, everybody's at Long's.
Yeah, everybody love it. So it's just like, let's get it.
That was good, man. I liked, I messed with that. What about the Who Is Tevin's Stutter song? I like that one too. How'd that one come about?
Yeah, so kinda Channel 13 did a story on me last Friday. Even after the whole Long's thing, people was asking who is this?
Right.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, let me tell you who I am, like, for real. Like, let me pop my stuff. Let me talk my talk. Like,
right.
Remind or just inform people who am I? Like, what do I do? What have I done? So that was kind of that. Just like, all right, remind them, wake people up. Remind those, refresh some memories for those who've been on the journey with me, as well as those who just getting on this journey, to show them what time it is.
Right.
That's all that kind of was.
How was the news? I mean, no, I said the news covered you before, but how was the news experience? How have the news experiences been for you with them interviewing you and sitting down and talking with them?
But like, in due time, man, like, where y'all been? Finally, like, I've been doing dope stuff. So that's right. Why I feel like they had to make my story so long when Channel 8 did a little feature story on me, and right. Now it's for 13. They had to make it long because they're like, what? He's done all of this in the city and we're just now giving the coverage? Like, I had a story where I'm like, man, there's nobody in the city did more videos in schools than me. Like, and then had the radio show. Like, that don't even get all the love it's going to get, because we're going to bring that back. But like, so many things that we did that just wasn't even, attention wasn't even brought to. So it was just like, it's a great experience. It's like, it's humbling to finally see my stuff. Like, we refilmed the video, the Mick video in 2017. Uh-huh. Just now seeing it on TV in 2020. But that's just like, man, it's timeless art.
It's time, man, capturing the moment, right?
Yeah, the stuff that's They say all this bull here today, gone tomorrow. Like, the real music and stuff will last. So it's like,
always.
I'm seeing a video from 3 years ago finally on TV. And even, like, they did a clip where they showed me a fifth grade rapping. I was like, this is crazy.
they dug up the archives. They dug up the archives on you. Yeah.
I'm watching a little dude rap. Like, it's just like, it just drew you into what your dream was. So.
That's big. I know, like you said, I know it's humbling, exciting, pretty much feeling every emotion all in one.
Yeah, it just really just inspired to do more. So, like, we got a crazy series that's dropping tonight. Or, if I finish the edit, it'll drop tonight.
Okay.
If I don't, it'll drop by tomorrow at the latest.
Oh, must there. How the Paul Mall song come about, man?
Man, my buddy, George Nelson, I went to ISU with him.
Uh-huh.
He's a Sigma from ISU. Man, went to a couple of Sigma parties. And just a solid dude that I was always cool with. And
right.
He respected my grind because he seen it. I just respected his and how he will position people. So he was just like, man, we got this restaurant, man. Come mess with me. Come mess with me. And we kept saying it. And I'm like, all
right,
man.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to come do it. And then he was like, man, we thinking about a video. And I'm like, that'll be perfect because I don't have like a soulful video in my catalog coming.
Right. So like,
now I can do a donut one. I can do a bakery one. I can do a soul food. So it's just like, he just wants to do it. Man, I seen his vision. I got to taste some of the food too. That was huge. I'm not going to endorse
that food. That food looks fire, dog.
Yeah. I can't endorse food that I can't taste. So let me
talk to him.
Yeah, let me eat it first. So I ate it and I was like, yeah, this is good. This is a good spot to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
So we ate it and I was like, yeah, man, let's blow it up. And then even, man, that video done 30,000 views so far.
Big.
So I was like, man, they done got all kind of business and they're even on TV today, actually. So big, like, they've been blowing me up because I was like, because it was actually on Channel 13 at 5, and I was like, man, I got an interview at 5. But I press record on the TV, so I'm going to watch it once we finish our interview. But, like, it's cool to just get them that exposure. Like, they would have never got that exposure had I not done the video. So it's just like, man, you got to think about more people than yourself.
Yeah, support your locals and support your own, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Black businesses. Just using my humor and talent to uplift Black business.
So that's I'm with all that. I ain't got no gripes with you on that one, my bro.
So that was pretty cool to do.
I hear you, man. What's next? What's in the future for Tevin?
Man, we got a huge series dropping tomorrow. I don't want to give it all away.
I don't.
You got the sneak peek. It's a huge series dropping tomorrow. If not, okay. It just depends on the edit. I got a party tonight. One of my friend's daughters having a birthday party. So
okay.
I'm going to that. But it's a huge series with some honor and some local legends. I'll say that.
Player. I like that, man. But before we get up off here, man, I got this thing on here, you know, called Live, you know, Living Your Truth or Living Your Truth. So I want to ask you, how does Tevin live in his truth every day?
Man, by just being a man that's going to serve God in his community, that's going to uplift others, that's going to use humor and talent to put the spotlight on other people. Like, all my videos are, for the most part, encompassing around other people.
Yeah.
Highlighting their talents and their gifts. It's just not, life is, it can't be just about you. I started to quote, like, life is for you, but not about you. Like, and when most people realize that, then they could, like, their whole situation will change and flourish. Because the more you do for other people, some people don't want to do stuff for you. So it's just like, that's cool. Like,
man, it's a circle of life. Like I said earlier, man, things come full circle to you. I mean, it's always a consequence for bad or good. And you definitely doing a service to for our generation, I say at least, not only for our generation, but for the community as well.
Definitely, and that's why I just want to turn it up several notches. Where it's just like, One that I can speak on that I put out there, a beauty shop and barbershop video. So we got a big black-owned beauty shop and barbershop video we're doing around Indy.
Okay.
That's going to be huge. Huge.
I can't wait for that one. Nah, that one I definitely can't wait for. Yeah, I like to see that one for sure.
That one's going to be crazy. So yeah, I can speak on that one. And man, the rest, like, I'm always do something different because it's going to be remembered. Everybody right. The same thing, they don't get remembered. So I got to be different, too. And that's the thing, like, it's crazy to think my name is going to forever be attached with the biggest establishment in my city. Like, that's crazy to think. Like,
that's a good one.
When I'm 60, like, bro, remember when you made that video for Lost Baker? It's like people that try to come along and do remixes, but it's not gonna be the same.
Yeah, but hey, man, you made that Paul Moss, man. He was all around the city. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, hey, man.
Yeah.
I had to do what I had to do, right?
Yeah. So it's gonna be all kinds of people that try to the next Young Buck. But ain't nobody directly gonna see me. I'm worried about that kid 25 years from now. He's gonna have talent, he's gonna be cold, but he ain't telling stuff.
It's only one Tevin Stutter.
He the one I'm competing against. Ain't nobody right. In this generation gonna work hard enough because they consumed with all the trivia, social media stuff. Like, all
right, man, talk your talk, bro. Talk
I'm
your stuff.
About that kid 25 years from now, that's like, he gonna be so talented. His mama going through a struggle right now. She don't even know her blessing on the way. Like, that little girl gonna be talented.
That little
he gonna be, he ain't gonna be me.
Hey, you a wild dude, man. You ain't gonna be me. Hey, man, again. It's all good though, man. You know, you can look out too. You know
yeah, I'm
you a real one.
I'm a lookout, supporting position. I'm like, bro, you cold, but you ain't your boy.
You ain't me.
That's how I feel. I feel like that's what all the OGs do. Like,
man, you know, bro, every single last one of them, man. Your pops, your uncles, everybody. You cool, but you ain't me, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hooper. Like, man, the kid can have, like, Michael Jordan LeBron skill set. Like, yeah, he nice, but he wasn't like me.
Man, man, straight up. Like you said, LeBron, but he can't block a ball like Shaq, though.
Yeah.
But he ain't like me, though.
They gonna compare them to themselves.
Yeah, facts.
I would have did that. Like,
man, oh my god, bro. Oh, you know what? It's cool you did that, but I wouldn't have done that though.
I swear, come on
with the bogus fish, man.
That's what's literally gonna happen. I to a sense can't wait to be that old dude.
But hey, say it like this. Instead of saying like that, say it like this, young blood. You know what I'm saying? Cue in like this. Say it like that.
That's how you want to do it.
Right.
I'm going to look at his numbers and be like, you want to get the numbers up, cuz? Like, this is what you got to do.
Talk to me. Come on. I'm going to learn you. I'm going to knowledge you.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. Because you're going to get to sit back and really, man, want to kick the door down for Indianapolis to make it like a national spot. So like,
yeah, I agree, man. It's about time, bro. It's definitely about time, for sure.
When I look at Atlanta and just kind of their dynamic of things, man, Outkast was the group that kicked the doors open for Atlanta.
Yes,
all
sir.
Because they were different. So yes, it's just like, of course they got the trap sound, the whole strip club scene, all those different things that make Atlanta Atlanta, but it was Outkast and their uniqueness that kicked the door down, and him saying the South got something to say. So
that's like, right, Andre 3000.
Yeah, I feel like Nap got something to say. So it's just like,
we do, man. I think we're like the only, bro. We're like the only, and I have this conversation all the time. I feel like we're the only place in the Midwest, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Ohio got their people, Detroit, you know, Michigan got their people, Illinois, Chicago got their people. Yeah. Hell, even Kentucky got their people. You know what I mean? We got Gary. You know, we got Michael Jackson and Freddie Gibbs from Gary. But when it comes to Indianapolis, you know, we just waiting for that, you know, that bubble up. But you got it, though.
We got Babyface. Like somebody said, Indianapolis is singers, actors, and ball players.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah, I could agree with that. But like you said, ain't no like the culture of like hip hop and young singers. Like Babyface definitely did his thing.
For sure.
But like young, but crazy to think of Coach K being from here.
Man,
and when I for the sound of hip hop, he went
and
to
people don't know it. High school, bruh. Coach, look, like you said, Coach. I'm glad you said it. Coach K from here. Like you said Babyface from here. Babyface gave LaFace their whole sound, bruh.
Literally,
you know what I'm saying? Like our, like, and this is no knock on Atlanta, no shade on Atlanta, but that was Babyface sound. Babyface from here. He had a whole LaFace Records, the sound.
And that's the, and if you look at hip hop. Coach K had Gucci and Young, and then now Migos. So it's Sam. Like hip hop, like Atlanta nowadays, they all inspired by Gucci. And for this new generation, Migos is that for these kids. So
it's yeah,
he didn't have his hand on the two generations of hip hop.
Sure did. That's right.
And now Gucci Mane's DJ is from that. DJ Champ, so it's like there's so many people that's it's all on the bubble. The young boy Fresh Does It produced that record for NLE Choppa.
Yup.
It's platinum plaque. Kid from the Far East Side got a platinum plaque. That's crazy.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Crazy. Put some respect on it.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Like I said, bro, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. And you and a couple others are in the forefront, you know, spearheading the project too, for real. I can definitely see that.
So yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man, definitely. But I appreciate you stopping on the God Dimension podcast, man, and topping it up with me, bro.
All love, man. Love what you're doing. Love you giving people a platform. Can't wait to see it grow and flourish. Years from now, go back on this thing. 25 years. So what's that? 2045.
Yup.
If we make it that far,
like, hey man, we gonna make.
No, I'm saying we. I'm not saying yeah. I'm just saying the state of the world. If the world,
whew, boy.
So 2045, that young man, super talented. I can't wait.
You ready, ain't you, boy? You can't wait.
Can't you ready? Wait.
You a boy? He got it in him. He's like, I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you.
25 years, 2045. I'm waiting.
All right, put that. We gonna put that in the count. We gonna mark that down, man. We gonna put that in the notes. We gonna put that in the notes, man. We gonna put that in the notes.
It's in my memories museum. I can't wait to bust
it. Oh, you gonna kill him? Don't do him like that. What's it say? Don't hurt him, Hammer. Don't do that, man.
It's gonna take him about 4 or 5 years to get me, but by that time, I'm already out the door anyway.
Oh, on everything. You chilling with a cigar. You know what I mean?
I'm
chilling
with a cigar. I had to tighten you up. Run the game.
I had to get you sharp real quick. Now you good. Go ahead and get on your tread. Go ahead and run your rat. Lower your lap. For sure.
Yeah. He gonna kill it too. You gotta get that bottom tap first.
No. gotta get that doctor tap from the womb.
Yeah.
All right.
Let him know.
Go ahead.
OG taught you.
OG Tev taught you. Got you. OG Tev taught you. Yeah, man. But like I said, man, salute to everything you're doing for real, man. I know it's going to be big, but thank you again, bro. I appreciate this.
All love. Keep moving forward.
No doubt, man. I got you. You too.
What's up?
No doubt.